Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Lord's house on this Labor Day holiday weekend. As always, please take a few moments to sign a friendship register at the end of each row and pass it over to your neighbor seated next to you. And please take a look at the bulletin announcement flyer inside your bulletins and notice several needs of our outreach at Berry Christian Church. There are needs for our food pantry as well as the Family Promise collection of clothing items. There is also a list of organizations that benefit from our donations this past month. Next Sunday, September 11th, we will begin the next session of our Christian Beliefs class for children who are considering the sacrament of baptism. This will be during the Sunday school hour, usually around 9:45 to 10:45, and we'll also have some time for fellowship during there as well. Also on Sunday, September 11th, please plan to join us for worship. The Sunday morning message will discuss how Berry Christian Church became committed to giving the 10% tithe to outreach ministries, and will also detail for you the many ministries that our congregation has supported annually for a bunch of years. And then after services, the outreach committee will host a spaghetti lunch fundraiser that will help us to continue financial support of the weekend food bag ministry for the Early Childhood Center of the North Kansas City School District. And folks, choir practice will resume this coming Wednesday, September 7th at 7 o'clock in the evening. And our music director, Ryan, would be delighted to visit with anybody about your interest in joining the choir. And we want to thank Brad Zimmerman for being with us this morning. It's good to see you as always, Brad. All right, now may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and be safe.
Seek your happiness in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire.
Give yourself to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will help you. He will make your righteousness shine like the noonday sun. We'll now sing hymn number 59, all stanzas of This Is My Father's World.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, God's hands the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world.
May we bow for a word of prayer. Oh God, what a privilege it is to gather here in your house on this Labor Day weekend. We celebrate the social and economic achievements of those who came before us, and through their work and sacrifices, we can now enjoy a healthier work-life balance in our country. Lord God, we acknowledge our own privilege and we realize that not all of this world enjoy the same benefits. So we pray that the well-being of many others might one day become a human right, as it is in other parts of the world. Holy God, we begin our service of worship by seeking the presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Guys, are we good this morning? Well, beans, it's you, just you three. I'm going to come and sit with you. Can I come and sit with you? Thank you. Okay. Well, today, I want to talk about Labor Day. That's what we're celebrating this weekend, isn't it? It's Labor Day. Yeah. Yeah. It's a day when we choose to celebrate all the workers, especially those who years ago made it easier for the workers today. But it's a time for everybody to just have a little break, a little work break. Yeah. And there are lots of verses in the Bible that talk about laborers. That's right, laborers. It means workers. So I'm going to read a couple of them for you. Okay, can we do that? This one is in Proverbs, I'm sorry. The book of Proverbs. And it's in the 14th chapter, verse 23. Okay, pay attention. It says, hard work is worthwhile, but empty talk will make you poor. Do you know what that means? It means if you want to have stuff, you gotta work hard for it. Yeah. Nobody's just going to hand you all the things you want, right? So we have another one. Kind of continues this. This is in the book of Colossians. That's a big word, isn't it? And it's in chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Let's see what that has to say. Should we? Pay attention. Do your work willingly, as though you were serving the Lord himself, not just earthly masters. In fact, the Lord Christ is the one you are really serving, and you know that he will reward you. What the Bible is saying is, no matter what we do, if we do it willingly and we do it with concern and respect for others, that's a way to honor God. Yes. So let's see. Maybe the next time mom or grandma or somebody asks you to pick up your toys, maybe we should do it willingly. I know, that's a lot to ask, isn't it? Yeah? But I know you can do it. I know you can. Should we have a little prayer? Can we sit still long enough for a little prayer, you think? Okay. Here we go. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for our abilities and talents. Help us to use all of these in a way that is that is pleasing to you. Help us honor you by using our skills, our talents, and in a way that's with integrity and joy and respect for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer this morning, a special word of celebration to Ron and Karen Kennedy, as you all were sharing with me earlier that today is your 50th wedding anniversary, 58. I'm sorry? 58. Did I get that right? 58, yeah. I'm sorry. My hearing's terrible. I think that's what I heard. 5, 8. That's what I said, I think. 58. Yeah, well, congratulations to both of you. Bless you guys. Bless you guys. Yeah. Also, we want to lift up Jake Otto in our prayers. Jake ended up having a dislocation of a new left hip that was actually just installed a few months ago. He was actually just in the process of doing some repair work around his house, and it was just kind of the way he made a certain kind of twist and turn that, by golly, that joint just dislocated itself and had to go to the hospital. And thankfully, they were able to put it all back together without having to have surgery. And he was in the hospital a couple of days just to get that observed. And he is now back home, but going to be staying at home for a few days as he continues his recovery. Thankfully, the door he was working on, he had just finished it. So, I mean, if you got to hurt yourself in the midst of a work project at house, at least get the project done, right? But please keep him in prayer. We also lift up Don and Diana Stone. Diana has just continued to have a number of health issues. And, of course, with the concern about her immune deficiency issues, that's why we're not able to see them here in the 8:30 service, as they'd normally be back in the back there. But please keep them in prayer as Diana continues to deal with her concerns. Larry Pettis is now at the Tiffany Springs Rehabilitation, making good progress there. We also continue to lift up Jill Gregory, Rihanna Ralston, Debbie Bozinski, Larry Pitts, and Evelyn Prusner. And among family and friends, we lift up Perla Morris' friend, Gary Montgomery, who has some health concerns. We also remember Connie Stark's mother, Janice, Linda Stevens' daughter, Lisa. We lift up Michael and Christina Marielle's friend, Debbie. We continue to lift up Jerry Treese's niece, Paula, and Perla Mora's niece, Michelle, and Connie Stark's friend, Abby. And we also remember the Hagen's cousin, David Brownfield, with extensive long-term health issues for him. And of course, Lana Witten's granddaughter, Samantha, and Bonnie's son-in-law, Chris, as we praise God that he's been making good progress. And of course, Katie Turner's cousin, Anoki's been on our prayer list for some time. So with all these people upon our hearts, let us bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we consider it a privilege to once again assemble in your house to offer you praise and celebration. And even as the indoor mask mandate was back in place even through Labor Day of last year of 2021, we recognize, O God, that we've made significant progress as the virus becomes less of a concern for most people and as we are able to enjoy times of friendship and fellowship with loved ones and friends, and many are indeed traveling. And for the many traveling this weekend, we pray for your mercies to be upon them. As youth and adults are still making adjustments to the task of the new school year, we seek your guidance, even as this last official holiday weekend of summer months is enjoyed. And as we are privileged to honor the labors of our hands, hearts, and minds on this Labor Day holiday weekend, we give you thanks, O God, for the blessings of our skills and talents that afford us the opportunity to experience the satisfaction of task well done, as we also strive to provide for those whom we love and care for. We remember that the scriptures tell us in Proverbs 16, verse 3, that we are to commit our work to you, our Lord, and then our plans will indeed be established. And as 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 tells us, we hope that whatever we may do, that it will always be for your glory. This be our prayer this Labor Day Sunday, as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. for the Passover and then for the Lord's Supper, food products that are the result of human labor that can sustain life, bread and the cup, were chosen to represent God's desire to sustain humanity, first through freedom from bondage and then freedom from sin and freedom from even death itself. Thus, on this Labor Day Sunday, as we partake in the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper, we are thankful for the blessings given from the fruits of our own labor, as we are also thankful for the tireless labors of our Lord Jesus as he became that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. As Psalm 128, verse 2 reminds us, "You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you." Our communion hymn is number 576, as we sing all three stanzas of "My Faith Looks Up to Thee."
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be a living fire. While life's dark I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside.
As we gather, words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.'" And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Bob leads us in a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we pray as we come to this table to renew our faith in the love of Jesus. On the cross, Jesus says, "Forgive them." As we take this communion, may the bread and the cup be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. On this Labor Day Sunday, we remember the significance of wages, remuneration received for the labor of one's mind and body. But as we are assembled in the Lord's house on this Labor Day Sunday, we remember that the Scriptures tell us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. But we also know the text continues, as it immediately tells us that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus, in thanksgiving for God's free gift of life eternal in Christ, every Sunday we give a portion of our wages in this earthly world in hopes that they become practical resources for the tangible work of God's kingdom here on earth. Dave leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to meet in your house to worship you. We experience your blessings every day, and they are given to us freely. May we love you enough to return to you a portion of that which is already yours. Bless the tithes, gifts, and offerings, and bless the giver. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above in heavenly realms. Praise Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is the latter portion of the first chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 43 to verse 50. This is, again, our last message in this series of three sermons about John chapter 1, and I hope that this has helped you to get a better idea as to how Jesus chose to call people and to inspire them. And to really answer the question of what was it that really inspired these particular early disciples of Jesus, that early core group, to really want to follow Christ as they believed that he was indeed the Messiah. And so today's text is about Philip and Nathanael, looking at verse 43 and continuing. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come with me." And Philip was from Bethsaida, the town where Andrew and Peter lived. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the book of the law and whom the prophets also wrote about. He is Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," answered Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, he said, "Here is a real Israelite. There is nothing false in him." Nathanael asked him, "Well, how do you know me?" Jesus answered, I saw you when you were under the fig tree before Philip called you. Teacher, answered Nathanael, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said, do you believe just because I told you I saw you when you were under the fig tree? You will see much greater things than this. And he said to them, I am telling you the truth. You will see heaven open up and God's angels going up and coming down on the Son of Man. May we pray. Lord God, we are grateful for the many avenues and directions in which your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, strove to inspire people to follow him. And may we understand that your Son, through the stories of the gospel and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is still striving to inspire us to follow him as Lord and Savior, even in our time. For this great truth, we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, in this last section of John's Gospel, chapter 1, our text sees Jesus leaving the southern province of Judah, and he is traveling to the uttermost northern province of Galilee for the land of Israel. And although the text does not tell us, we can assume that Andrew, his brother Simon Peter, and their cousins, who were brothers, James and John, that all four of them quite likely traveled with John back to their home community. And quite likely, they were going to the coastal fishing community of Bethsaida, located on the northeastern side of the Sea of Galilee. It was the hometown of Simon Peter and Andrew. And here the text tells us Jesus meets up with Philip there in Bethsaida, because that was his hometown too. And Jesus asked Philip to join him in ministry. Philip must have been so excited about being asked to join up with Jesus. That's similar to the way that Andrew, in truly believing that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, Andrew eagerly went out and sought after his brother Simon, whom Jesus gave that second name, Peter. Remember, that was again early in this little segment we've been working through here of John chapter 1. And Philip tells Nathanael that he believes Jesus is indeed the long-awaited Messiah whom the Jewish people had for centuries been waiting for. As verse 45, the latter portion of the verse tells us, Philip declares, we have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the book of the law and whom the prophets also wrote about. He is Jesus, son of Nazareth, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Now, Nathanael's response to Philip's exuberance is actually quite flat. He's skeptical about Philip's claim of Jesus being the Messiah, and for what he thought were good reasons, given Nathanael's personal bias and his mindset. So what was that bias? What was his mindset? First of all, Nathanael came from Cana, a small town in the southwestern portion of this province of Galilee. Cana was just a short distance from Jesus' hometown of Nazareth. In these biblical times, bitter rivalries existed between neighboring small towns throughout Israel, similar to the kind of rivalries that often exist between small towns in the same state. Today, such rivalries often center around the most popular sporting event of the state, be it football in Texas, wrestling in Oklahoma, or maybe basketball in Kansas. If you've lived in a small town, you know what I mean. how they'll kind of trash talk the other small town, especially when it's time for the teams to come on over and play whatever that sport is. And that was the way it was. Texas football, wrestling was Oklahoma when I was there, and obviously basketball in Kansas. So imagine that kind of mindset that exists even today, certainly existing among the Jewish towns throughout the land of Israel. And Nazareth, in the time of Jesus, is such a small, inconsequential backwater town that consisted of about a couple hundred residents, situated on the edge of a hilly cliffside. And so Nathanael questions Philip rather sarcastically by saying, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" In fact, there wasn't even a prophecy out there in the text that somehow gave any credence to Nazareth. Remember, the idea was that the Messiah would come from where? Bethlehem. Nothing's mentioned about Nazareth. So all the more reason why we see Nathanael being quite skeptical. But notice, however, that Philip doesn't engage in some kind of argument with Nathanael. He knows that arguing will accomplish nothing. Instead, the latter portion of verse 46 tells us that Philip simply says to Nathanael, "Well, you come and see." So it is also in our day and time. There are those who may wish to argue away the significance of Jesus, believing in their own bias, their own mindset, that in their rational way of thinking, Jesus must be just another good prophet or some sort of mythical caricature of human invention. We too accomplish very little if we try to convince the skeptical through sparring of argumentative thought. Instead, we, like Philip, must inspire by simply encouraging others to see Jesus. But how do we see Jesus? We see Jesus just in the ways I spoke about last week in that middle portion of this chapter 1 of John's Gospel. We see Jesus by experiencing his life through the stories of the Gospels, by spending time with Christ. And when Jesus sees Nathanael coming toward him, Jesus declares in verse 47, "Why, here is a real Israelite. There is nothing false in him." Now, the significance of these words are lost in our Western way of thinking, for we have difficulty making any kind of association with their significance. But in the Jewish times of Jesus and his disciples, Jesus here is offering a tribute of the highest caliber to a Jewish man of his day. In our country, it may sound similar to someone saying, "Now here comes a genuine red-blooded American, a true patriot." Jesus is saying, "Here is Nathanael, a truly faithful Israelite who genuinely seeks God's truths and is never deceived by falsehoods." Being that the Hebraic and Judaic traditions were centered on the truth of the Word of God as they knew it in that Old Testament, especially the Pentateuch of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, nothing could be a greater compliment than for someone to declare that your life is focused solely on the truths and the guidance of the Scriptures. In verse 48, Nathanael is astonished at how Jesus knows the very depths of his being and knows of his personal quest for spiritual truth. As Nathanael asked Jesus, "Well, how is it that you know me?" In other words, how is it, Jesus, that you know the inner motivations of my very heart and soul so well? After all, you've never even met me before now. As verse 48 continues, Jesus answers Nathanael by saying, "Well, I saw you when you were under the fig tree before Philip called you." Jesus' response, again, also gets lost in our Western way of thinking because we don't know the significance of this reference to the fig tree. In Jewish biblical times, the fig tree always stood as a symbol for peace. One was truly at peace in one's world circumstances when a devout Jewish person was free to sit in the shade of the broad leaves of one's own fig tree and there in the comfort of the cooler air meditate upon the significance of God's indwelling in one's personal life. Jesus is saying to Nathanael that he knew that on the day that Philip called on him, that Nathanael, devout and earnest as he was in seeking the truth of God in Scripture, was indeed sitting in the shade of a fig tree, quietly contemplating the Jewish hope of the coming Messiah and the truth that he would offer all Judaism and the world. And so Nathanael declares in verse 49, "Teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." But more importantly, Nathanael is astonished by the simple fact that Jesus knows the innermost yearnings of his heart, his mind, and indeed the longings of his soul. And Jesus offers Nathanael the chance of a lifetime to follow the quest of his deepest spiritual yearning if he will only become one of Jesus' followers. Jesus responds to Nathanael in verse 50. "Do you believe just because I told you I saw you when you were under a fig tree? You will see much greater things than this." And he said to them, meaning whoever else was gathered there, you know, Philip, Nathanael, whoever else may have been there. Maybe again it's still Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John might have still been there. He says to them, "I am telling you the truth. You will see heaven open and God's angels going up and coming down on the Son of Man." In this latter portion of verse 50, Jesus makes a direct reference to the familiar Hebrew story that every devout Jewish person would know. The story of Jacob's dream in Bethel, described in Genesis chapter 28. In the dream, angels are descending from heaven to earth and ascending from earth to heaven on a ladder. We know the story from our children's song, "We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder," and I won't sing it for you. But here in John chapter 1, verse 50, Jesus is telling Nathanael, and indeed the others, "If you will follow me, you will experience spiritual wonders beyond your comprehension. For it is not on some ladder, but literally on the ministry and teachings of me," Jesus is saying, "on the Son of Man, the Messiah. It is on me that the angels will come and go. It is on me that you will experience the fullness of the heavenly realm, even here on earth." This Sunday, in this portion of John's Gospel, chapter 1, Nathanael is convinced and willingly decides to follow Jesus because he realizes Jesus knows the very longings and the depth of his soul. Last Sunday, we understood that it was simply by spending time with Jesus that convinced Andrew and his brother Simon Peter that Jesus must indeed be the Messiah. And on the very first Sunday of this series, in that first portion of John's Gospel, chapter 1, the text convinced us that Jesus is the Messiah who is the Word, the very essence of God, full of grace and truth, became a human being, became one of us, so that we may know God in a most intimate and personal way. And so, this morning I ask you, where are you in your relationship with God in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is God among us in human form? Do you spend time with Jesus by reading and rereading about his life and ministry in the gospel stories? Do you believe that Jesus knows the very depths of your inmost thoughts, the yearnings of your soul? These are the ways that Christ was very up close and personal here in this first chapter of John's gospel. But they are the same avenues through which Jesus wants to be up close and personal with you. Today can be your day to seek forgiveness of sin and to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of the membership here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend that invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 343. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4 of Jesus is Tenderly Calling Thee Home.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh, list to his voice. Hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and obey. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. And Brad, thank you so much for your assistance for us today. Thank you, Brad. Bless you. A reminder, next Sunday, our focus for the message is going to be on the outreach ministries of Berry Christian Church, based on the premise of the 10% tithe and how that has been a conviction and commitment of this congregation. The 10% of our resources for the last several decades has always been going to various outreach causes. And we're going to describe what many of those causes are next Sunday and kind of give you a little bit of history as we celebrate the conviction of the tithe next Sunday in worship. But also, after the 11 o'clock service at 12 noon, we are going to be having our fellowship meal for the month of September. The outreach committee is going to provide that meal for us, but it will also be a time for us to receive a free will offering that will go to the continuation of those weekend meals that are provided for 10 families at the early childhood school, which is over off of Highway 1 in Gladstone. Our congregation has been committed to that ministry for the last 20 years. We actually started it with another congregation. The other congregation gave up on it, I think, a short time after they started. We've been doing that for 20 years. And we'll describe that as well as many of the other causes that our church has supported. So please join us in that celebration next Sunday. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit is with us, always giving us a great level of inspiration through your Son, who is indeed our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Guide us as we step forward into the balance of this Labor Day weekend. We pray for safe travels for one and all, and bring us back into your fellowship here next Sunday. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks. Amen.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be. My feeble life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to thy shore, dear Lord, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Kindly walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.